Springfield's Talk 104.1 and a good Tuesday morning. High near 90 today. Cooler temperatures, relatively speaking, on their way, so fear not. Also a chance for thunderstorms. Hearings yesterday, Blinken. These are becoming somewhat standard. These hearings where you get Democrats running defense for the incompetency of the Biden administration. You have Republicans really grilling and demanding answers, but ultimately I think we all know nothing's going to happen. There was a time when incompetency was on full display and undeniable that people would lose their jobs. But that doesn't happen anymore in these high-profile positions. Depending on your age, this may be something that you were never really in tune to. You just assume that, well, you can be as incompetent as you want as long as you're connected. You are going to continue to be in those positions. And there's this almost, I believe, human condition that comes into play psychologically where you have somebody who puts somebody in a position of power, they fail, and then instead of admitting, well, I was wrong, I picked the wrong guy or gal, they double down, and they promote them oftentimes. This is how somebody like Blinken ends up constantly getting promoted until he's Secretary of State. Trump was kind of the opposite. He fired people left and right. You're incompetent. You're out of here. Nope, you didn't do it. Get out. Done. Gone. You're fired. Of course, he was somewhat accustomed to that because of his television show, but he was a bit different than the establishment where they just double down and they will not fire people no matter how often. I mean, you look at the entire debacle in Afghanistan, and I believe it was noted that first week that we realized catastrophe was unfolding. It was noted by a member of Congress or a former or somebody who had served in Afghanistan that as best they knew, no high-profile military person had lost their job in a couple of decades for incompetency. Whereas once upon a time, if there was some sort of demonstration of incompetency, whomever was in charge would step down, even if it wasn't necessarily their fault, but it was to send a message that as the United States, we don't mess around. We only have the best possible making these decisions. As the United States, we expect the absolute, unquestionable best so that we have the most competent, lethal, effective fighting force in this entire world, so nobody wants to mess with us. We don't mess around. And so if there was some display of, I keep using the word incompetent, because it seems to be the most appropriate word, that person would step down. And part of the reason they stepped down is because they wanted to make sure that our enemies abroad thought of the United States military as a military that would not put up with such behavior. Because we were laser focused on being the absolute best in the world. They don't do that anymore. They're more worried about their job. They're more worried about their job security. They're more worried about their ego than the impact it's going to have on the national security of this country by staying in that position. And the president of the United States is more worried about his reputation and more worried about the narrative. I mean, after all, how can he accept someone's resignation if their story is that this was the most amazingly brilliant military exercise we've ever seen? You got to remember, while there are hearings, I mean, you've got hearings going on right now. They began yesterday. All based on trying to figure out how this got all screwed up. But the people who are being questioned in the Biden administration are still claiming that it wasn't screwed up. It was wonderful. This was brilliant. I mean, we evacuated more people than ever. Any country. I mean, wow, this is just the most amazing military operation that the world has ever seen. So, of course, Biden can't expect anyone to step down when that's the position, because why would you have somebody step down who is so brilliant at their job? Unfortunately, the rest of the world sees what the average person sees, and that is total incompetence and a refusal to acknowledge when you have failed. And that is a very, very tempting target for enemies. When you recognize that your enemy is in denial about their capabilities and about the decisions that they make, that is a very tempting target, which I'm sure it's no coincidence. As I predicted weeks ago, as soon as this began to unfold, North Korea was going to start acting up again, and of course they have. As has Iran. Every bad player on this planet is going to and is currently taking advantage of what we have in the White House. Let's get the latest news update. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. First alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny, high near 90 today with a chance of thunderstorms tonight. Low of 66. 50% chance of shower storms tomorrow, otherwise partly sunny with a high of 82. And Thursday, sunny 85, it is 69. Anything that you happen to miss, our on-demand section, sponsored by GunTech and Nixa. And our Friday Roadshow is coming up on Friday, and that will be at Scramblers, Republic Road and National, sponsored by Queen City Motors. North Korea carried out successful tests of a new long-range cruise missile over the weekend. This is seen by analysts as possibly the country's first such weapon with a nuclear capability. Well, isn't this fantastic? Don't you feel safe with Biden in charge? The missiles are, quote, a strategic weapon of great significance and flew 1,500 kilometers, that's 930 miles, before hitting their target and falling into the country's territorial waters during the test on Saturday and Sunday. The latest test highlighted steady progress in Pyongyang's weapon program amid a gridlock over talks aimed at dismantling the North Koreans' nuclear and ballistic missile program in return for U.S. sanction relief. So here, I know. Those of you who listen all the time must get tired of hearing me make this point. But if you are, that means you get it. And that is, we have gone right back to the way that we used to do things, where the bad guy is controlling us. In fact, there's a story from Reuters. U.S. still prepared to engage with North Korea even after their missile test. Now, for those who aren't familiar with how we deal with bad players in the world, when they want something from us, they behave badly, and we promise to give them whatever it is that they want if they start to behave in a manner that we find acceptable. And so they say, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, okay, absolutely. And then when they get the goodies, there may be a period of time where they continue to display the acceptable behavior. But when they run out of the goodies and they want some more of the goodies, they start to act up again. North Korea has nuclear capabilities because of the United States and our way of dealing with them. The acceleration of their nuclear capabilities came during the Clinton years. And this was a situation which is pretty much mirrored with the Iranian situation, in which North Korea wanted nuclear capabilities, and they said, well, it's only for energy, see. We just need it for energy, that's all. And so the Clinton administration, with the brilliance of Madeleine Albright, another one of these individuals that we're told is so worldly and so brilliant, went over there, gushed over Kim Jong-il, and worked out this deal where we would give them the nuclear capabilities as long as they promised. We'd give them the technology, we'd give them the financial aid, as long as they promised not to be bad with it. Now, you have to know, at some point, then North Korean leader Kim Jong-il thought, this has got to be a trap. No one can be this stupid. No one. It would be like dealing with somebody who murders children. And you tell them you'll make them head of a preschool as long as they promise to be good. No one would do that, would they? Of course not, because it's stupid. But that's how it is that we deal with foreign policy. Now, Trump's the caveat. The extreme caveat, that in a moment. And so North Korea immediately, of course, they had to agree to inspections, and we had little cameras set up that they had to agree to, that would allow us at any time to monitor, to make sure that they aren't using the nuclear capabilities for anything other than energy. Immediately, they took the cameras down. Immediately, they said, we're not going to let inspectors in. Immediately, they began working to advance their nuclear capabilities. The Bush administration comes along, and frankly, they were no better. North Korea at that point having a hard time continuing to fund their nuclear capabilities and to feed their military. So what do? They ask for food. Well, we want food. We just simply need, it's humanitarian, see? And the United States said, okay, as long as you promise to be good, because, see, they were acting up. They keep trying to advance their, okay, yes, we'll be good. We'll stop being bad. As long as you give us lots of rice, lots of grain, we really need to feed our people. So we gave them what they want. They immediately used it to feed their military. They sold the rest on the black market and used it to fund their military along with their nuclear advancement. And we knew they were doing it. But we continued, every time they promised to behave, in order to kick the can down the road and live in la-la land and escape the really difficult decisions in life, for the acceptance of a promise and a pinky swear that they'll be good, we give them more stuff. It is the equivalent of giving a child a piece of candy to get them to shut up. At some point, they recognize when I want candy, I start screaming in the middle of the grocery store. We train that behavior, just as we train North Korea to behave this way. Now, Trump came along, and he had a little different perspective. His perspective was, doesn't work that way anymore. We don't offer you free stuff in exchange for you being good for a little while, and then when you start acting bad, give you more good free stuff. We will punish you. If you want to prove yourself, if you want to be part of the international community, if you want to improve the quality of life of your country, your people, then these are the things that you have to do. And if you don't do them, then it's off. And in fact, at one point, that's exactly what happened with North Korea. Prior to the high-level meeting, the Trump administration had arranged for mid-level meetings in which there was a certain level of homework that North Korea had to do. And at that meeting, it became clear North Korea was not abiding by what the requirements were, and so Trump called it off. Now, the media at the time hailed it as a failure. Oh, see, Trump doesn't know what he's doing. But in fact, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was sending a message that we are in charge. And if you want to benefit in any way, shape, or form, you do what we tell you to do. And if you don't do it, it's not as simple, you know, our response is not going to be, what can we do now in order to get you to do what you, we will punish you. You will be punished. And lo and behold, what happened with North Korea? They stopped their advancement of nuclear technology. They stopped testing these missiles. Same situation with Iran. Iran is now, according to the UN inspectors, violating all the rules, violating all the agreements with the advancement of their nuclear technology. That wasn't happening during the Trump years. Taliban, the same situation. For all the hand-wringing over Trump negotiated with the Taliban, he put them on notice is what he did. He continued with the drawdown that began under the Obama administration, and he put them on notice. He said, you saw what I did to ISIS. You saw what I did to Soleimani of Iran. You so much as harm the hair on the head of one of our own in Afghanistan from this point until, indefinite, I will hunt you down and I will destroy you. And you know I'll do it. And from that period on, for the next year and a half, not a single hair was harmed on the head because of the Taliban, of an American soldier. And to watch us go backwards, you could just go down the list, peace in the Middle East, nation after nation doing what the world said was absolutely impossible, and that is signing agreements with Israel without a care in the world what the Palestinians had to say about it. That all is completely stopped. If you're a human being who really truly is interested, really truly interested in having people in charge that behave in a way that has the desired outcome, watching all of this play out is total and complete insanity. And to watch these people that are the so-called experts and, they're good on television and, this is just, these negotiations, and look, they all come together and sign this thing. And it is insanity. And the folks who are either incapable or unwilling to look at the clear outcomes of this behavior. We have been on the decline of civilization for some time now. I don't know if you can pinpoint an exact moment. I think these things have a bit of a curve to them. But when we go from a clear a leader who takes the opposite approach that past presidents, Republicans and Democrats in modern history have taken, and the results are also the opposite. They're actually the results that we want. The bad guys settling down. The bad guys quit poking at us. They start doing what we tell them to do. And then somebody new comes in charge and they go back to the old way and the bad guys go back to their old way of behaving in a way that we don't want them to behave. How stupid do we have to be as human beings to continue to do this? And so Reuters reporting that we're still prepared to engage with North Korea after the missile test, and they know that, and that's why they're doing it. This is not difficult. This is the other thing that's amazing to me. How clear and simple this stuff actually is. Yet you have these people that were told they're brilliant, and they went to this universe, they went to that universe, they studied over here, they have this beautiful resume. Yet they are some of the most obtuse, one-dimensional people that you'll ever meet. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Coming up in the show, we are going to play some of the audio of Blinken yesterday. Also, there is a hospital. Someone leaked out a video conference in which they were plotting on, and it's not local here hospital, but they were plotting on ways to make the COVID patient numbers sound bigger than it actually is. And this was in an effort because people just don't get it. This is how lies often occur by people in positions of power. They have a belief regarding something, and they think you just don't get it. So they have to enhance the problem a little bit. They have to take whatever the situation is and fluff it up, make it a little more scary, a little more dangerous, because you're stupid and you just don't get it. And that's what this hospital is plotting to do. And then, of course, when they get caught, they essentially admit, well, we just, you know, people weren't getting the full picture. They weren't, aka, you were too stupid to understand. So we have to lie to you a little bit in order to get you to better understand it. And of course, again, the one-dimensional thinking of these folks is the, or what it does is it leads them to not recognize that that isn't going to work. All it does is make people not trust you more. This whole COVID thing is another instance where you have these people in charge, and they, because of the arrogance, the narcissism, they refuse to recognize they are the ones doing more harm than good. Virtually every person who has become a spokesperson that's really trying to push people's behavior when it comes to COVID are the reason that the segment of the population who is suspect are suspect. They're their own worst enemy, these people in charge. And this is just another example of it. Coming up, though, I want to further just throw in another story here regarding what we were talking about in the first part of the program and how it is that we train the Taliban to essentially misbehave on a scale that engages us, involves us in the world. Same thing with North Korea, same thing with Iran. We trained them to lead us around. I don't want to say we're the ones who make them bad, but we are the ones who train them how to treat us. And there's another story in which the Biden administration is quietly appeasing the Iranians. Because Biden wants to get them back to the table. And so he already lifted sanctions after he said he wouldn't as a condition of meeting. Saudi Arabia's like, hey, you know, all right, we ain't going to meet them. Sorry, Iran, rather. We aren't going to meet them. And so Biden's like, okay, we'll lift the sanctions. Now, they've thrown out a few other things. They're like, well, we'd also like this. And the Biden administration is going, okay, we'll give you that too. First, a traffic update. I'm Nick Reed. Congratulations. We are on Facebook Live if you want to watch the show play out. Or I should know, you may wonder where Sarah, you know, wait, Sarah looks different. That's because Sarah's not here. Katie, who is our producer on the weekends and also on Friday while we are out at Scramblers, and she's here producing in studio. And so she's in for Sarah this week while Sarah's on vacation. So I just thought I'd mention that. Everyone, that's who that is. In case you're wondering, you're curious. People get curious about these things. I went Biden there, whispering just a bit. Bent on appeasing Iran, U.S. quietly removes advanced missile defense system from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia can hardly be classified as a total reliable ally of the United States, particularly given lingering questions about the extent of the involvement at the highest levels of the 9/11 jihad attack. However, it is a notable bulwark against Iran and the region. And so many on both sides of the aisle see the utility of the American alliance with the kingdom. That group, however, apparently does not include Joe Biden's handlers. Over the last few weeks, the Biden administration has quietly removed an advanced missile defense system from Saudi Arabia, despite the fact that the Saudis are suffering ongoing air attacks from Houthis in Yemen, who are clients and proxies of Iran. It's hard to see that move as anything but yet another attempt to appease the mullahs in Tehran, who so far have not been moved by Biden's handlers, many's overtures to soften their harsh anti-American rhetoric. John Kirby of the Pentagon, however, said nothing about the Islamic Republic as he admitted to, quote, the redeployment of certain air defense assets. Instead, he insisted that the American commitment to its allies in the Middle East remain broad and deep. And yeah, just the broad rhetoric. So you've got North Korea in a vacuum of power, working once again towards not just nuclear development, which they have, but the advancement of that, the refining of it, the ability to get those nuclear devices to the United States with another missile test. And our response is, oh, we'll still meet with them, according to the Biden administration. Biden desperately wanting, it's just the way that we're being played, to make up another, you know, to get Iran to re-sign some other deal, which was a deal that was, it wasn't ever even any sort of treaty. It did not go through the Senate. The Iranians had never abided by it. This, again, had to be one of those situations where they thought this must be some sort of trick, which is, of course, what Trump understood, and that's why he said, this is ridiculous, we're not going to be part of this anymore. Biden early on said, well, as a condition of meeting with the Iranians, we will not give in on sanctions. We're not going to lift any. And of course, he would do that. And now, as the Iranians are having missiles launched into Saudi Arabia, we remove their missile defense system. And I could tell you exactly why this is. It's in hopes that we just keep giving Iran what they want over and over and over again, and they'll agree to make it look as if we have accomplished some sort of agreement. And incidentally, this is exactly how we're dealing with the Taliban. Some of that, in fact, the questioning of that occurred with Blinken yesterday. Let me throw another one at you before we move on here. It's amazing how many of these moves that are not in the best interest of peace in the United States that Biden has been able to make in the short time he's been in the presidency. When it comes to Russia, another about face, Biden claiming that he would not lift sanctions on that Nord Stream pipeline into Europe. He said that was not a good deal, shouldn't happen, he would not lift sanctions. Then all of a sudden, I don't know if somebody bought a Hunter Biden painting or what the deal was, Biden did an about-face, said, okay, we will lift sanctions, we're going to let it go ahead. The Wall Street Journal would report that subsequent to that, Biden asked if in, you know, there were some areas that Russia had interest. See if I can find the story. I know I have it here somewhere. And the request was, all right, you know, so you got a little bit here. We'd like to have some sort of drone capabilities to launch from these areas, particularly as we look to get out of Afghanistan. That way we have some sort of ability to gather intelligence, to watch from the sky. And Putin, understanding Biden, like Kim Jong-un, like, you know, every other country, the Iranians, the Chinese, said, no, I don't think so. I mean, we continue to give away the farm and get absolutely nothing in return. Let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, we're 9 months into this thing, 9 months. Greg Gutfeld summed up my feeling on this. You just couldn't quite put a pin on it. Like, what is it? It's just such a hopeless feeling. In the past, anytime things have gone so wrong, there was such a pushback that course would be corrected. Generally, if you had a president that was making so many bad decisions, so many failures, his own party would come out and be like, you've got to fix this. This has got to stop, even if it was privately. That's no longer the game. Democrats seem absolutely uninterested in getting us back on the right track. And it's clear they want us to forget about the Americans that we've abandoned and our allies that we've abandoned. That they want that done, over with. Let's just forget it. It's done. They had it coming. They shouldn't have been there in the first place, whatever the rationale is for it. And so Greg Gutfeld, he made the comment. He goes, you know, at this point, it's almost like we're just along for the ride. That sums it up. You just, all right, I guess this is going to continue. And there's nothing that anyone is going to do about it. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. There are a number of cultural events that take place in the United States that are, without question, only for the absolute elite. And I mean like the rich, rich, rich elite, not people that you know that are rich. You may, well, I don't know. It just depends on the level of rich people you know. But some of you are like, man, they're really rich. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking way above that. The Met Gala is one of these things. It's one of these events that the uber, 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 uber rich slash celebrities show up for, and they oftentimes have, you know, they don these dresses, these outfits. So what are you wearing? Oh, look at this. Look at that. Ocasio-Cortez attended the Met Gala because, you know, she's made it. She wore a dress that said, "Tax the Rich." While many people noted the hypocrisy of attending an event with the richest of the rich, in which, you know how much a ticket was? Tickets were going for $30,000. Now, how she afforded it, I don't know, or I don't know if somebody gave her a ticket as a contribution. The fact of the matter is, she was swimming in a sea of people that live well beyond you and I can ever comprehend. Well, we're in a tax the rich dress. Now, many people, they say, well, this, of course, is hypocritical. It's more than that. It is an absolute perfect example of socialism at play. Socialism does not bring equality. It has never demonstrated equality amongst the people. It eliminates what we know as the middle class, and then it creates about a 90% to 99% of absolute lower class, and we saw this play out in Venezuela, which people were digging through dumpsters and killing their pets for food. But the people in power are still very, very, very wealthy. It's one of the signifying differences between a free society that utilizes capitalism versus socialism is you don't have to be connected in a free capitalistic society in order to become really rich. I mean, look at the people who are some of the richest amongst us. Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, that is a guy that I think we all can admit in college did not have the advantages of the looks and the connections that so many other people do. Look at Jeff Bezos. A guy starts selling books out of his garage. Look at Bill Gates. Look at I mean, you could just go down the list of some of the richest people in this country, and it wasn't because they were well connected. It was because they came up with some idea, they worked hard, they had a good product, a service that people wanted, and they figured out how to capitalize off that. You can't do that in socialist countries. You have to be connected. You have to be connected to powerful people in government. So for Ocasio-Cortez, one of the connected, powerful people, who goes on and on about equality, to show up at an event where tickets are $30,000 while wearing a tax the rich dress is an absolute perfect message. You see, when you're connected, you get all sorts of exemptions from taxes, or you get all sorts of contracts. So, you're going to raise our corporate taxes by 10%, but you're also going to give us government contracts to the tune of billions, so we come out ahead. They take care of each other. The only part of this that is, it's such a study of human nature, is the amount of people out there that will see this and cheer it on, not realizing that she is one of them, not one of you. She is one of the rich and powerful. And while she may not have amassed the wealth, or amassed the wealth that some of these others she's rubbing elbows with, this is the beginning of her ascension. Look at the Clintons. Look at the Obamas. Now, I'm not saying that she's going to reach that level, but these are all people that had nothing. They didn't have real jobs. They didn't go out and create anything. They weren't Steve Jobs. They weren't Donald Trumps. They weren't any of these people that in a free market system developed something that people wanted. These were individuals that got into positions of power and then used that power in order to extort money out of people. How do you think it is that Hunter Biden, a complete train wreck of a human being, can get job after job, making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and end up with an art gallery where anonymous buyers will spend up to $500,000 for his paintings? That's a perfect snapshot of socialism. And do you think Ocasio-Cortez has a problem with that sort of wealth? A guy who has contributed absolutely nothing to this country, rolling in millions and millions of dollars all because of connections? No. Now, she might give it lip service every once in a while, but ultimately, that's the part of the system that she wants. A socialist system where the only people who have a chance at wealth are the connected. And there she is rubbing elbows. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I recall when the Hunger Games was at its peak of popularity, and there were some on the left that tried, and maybe they actually thought this, to present that whole narrative of Hunger Games as somehow an example of capitalism, where the top 1% have everything, not recognizing or realizing, number one, that the wealthy within Hunger Games, they weren't wealthy because they offered goods or services that people wanted. You know, like iPads or movies or refrigerators or cell phones, services like Amazon where you can order something and have it that day. There's something in return there. But instead, the Hunger Games, people in power, that they were the government that controlled people's activities, controlled what they had. And if there is ever a snapshot of what could be a scene from the Hunger Games, it's the Met Gala, where you have people like Ocasio-Cortez, $30,000, everybody's dressed up in the opulence, and the photo, where they're living in their own little world, having a great time, while you have Americans abandoned in Afghanistan, desperately hiding their children, particularly their 12, 13-year-old daughters, so the Taliban doesn't take them as child brides. You want to talk about a snapshot of the Hunger Games. The Met Gala is much like that. Now, of course, a lot of those people are wealthy within the private industry, but generally they all have the same mindset. They love that idea of socialism. They love the idea of they decide for the rest of us how it is we're going to live financially, health-wise. Coming up, White House once again cut off a Joe Biden feed when he was getting ready. This is the third or fourth time this has happened. It is so blatantly clear that Biden is a puppet at this point. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.